And all our middle schoolers, elementary folks, you can head toward the back there with Sister Holloman in the back. I'm in Hebrews. I probably ought to go to the front of my Bible. And Genesis chapter 1. Hopefully as you came in, you got a program today. And those of you who like to look at the digital, then you can just go to hardinvalleychurch.com/app. That's APP. And you can grab that and you can see all the notes and things. And, of course, all the social media is there as well. And so lots of stuff. Guys, you got me recording in the back there. You got me recording. All right. Very good. Very good. All right. So we want to help you today and see what God has for us this morning. If you're willing and able, one last time, let's stand. We'll read God's Word together. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. The Bible says, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them." 34 years ago when I went to ministry, 34 years ago in March, when I went into ministry, I never in my lifetime would have imagined verse 27 to be controversial, but there it is. Job 33:4, "The Spirit of God's made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Psalm 95:6, "Come, let us worship, bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know the Lord, he is God, is he that has made us, not we ourselves, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Your hands have made me," verse 73, "give me understanding, I may learn your commandments." Over and over again, the Bible says God has made us, we are his creation, and that we are made in his image. If you'll allow me, just some myths, some truths from about the culture of abortion and the Bible, I want to help us today as we think about what God's Word says about us as people. Father, we love you. Help us this morning. Speak to our hearts. I pray those, Father, who are confused, I pray that they would understand. I pray for those who perhaps are antagonistic or hostile toward what I'm about to say, I pray that you would tender their hearts. I pray that they would hear, Lord, what you lovingly say from the Scripture. And I pray that you would remind all of us, that we are constantly to be not just challenging culture, but we're to be impacting culture. We're to be raising up the next generation. Lord, as Tim said, we're to be making sure that the cattle have calves. We're to be passing on the values of the Scripture from generation to generation. So I pray, Lord, as we've not done a very good job of that for, Lord, these 30-some years, 40-some years, I pray you'd help us. Help us that, Lord, what has been normalized would become, again, abnormal. And, Father, we would understand what it is. And I pray that we would see the greatness of your forgiveness. And I pray we'd be reminded of your grace and your mercy. We love you and we thank you and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Be seated. Again, thank you so much for being here today. And like I said, I always feel like I need a lot of wind up for some of this. But I gave you some statistics maybe just to help me so I wouldn't have to talk as much and talk through some things. Just to say kind of where we are. These are a little bit older statistics. But again, the newer ones are harder to come by for a reason I'll tell you in a moment. About 1 in 3 women have experienced or have had something to do with an abortion by age 45. That number is skewed because it's not 1-to-1. It's typically a woman may have 2 or 3 of these procedures. 2/3 of women have abortion and say that they know Christ. That's the astonishing one. About half are among women 24 years and older. Again, if you look at that, then that number goes up exponentially. That number has gone up in the last 10, 15 years in particular. 85% will change their minds if they're allowed to see an ultrasound. This is why lawsuits continue all across the country when pregnancy care centers, when they want to intervene, they want to try and help folks because they know, everybody knows if they can see an ultrasound of their child, then they almost always decide to keep the baby. Only 13% of American women are African American, but they account for the newest statistics, almost 50% of abortions. And again, this is targeted. This when all this began, when so many of this stuff became popularized, they took the euthanasia and they took the overt racism. And they said one of the simplest ways we can cull the population, that was their terminology, not mine, particularly the African American, is we can just get them to kill their babies. The historical records from neighboring state, North Carolina, are just astonishing and atrocious. You go down to Alabama, Mississippi, you'll see some of the same kind of thing. And again, this has always had this kind of bent. We fought the war over Nazism in Germany as they were trying to exterminate the lesser people, the Jewish people, and then we brought those same ideas to the West, and particularly in Europe, Britain, and then it came to America by way of the universities. It is an unbelievable thing. about 85% who have had this procedure are unmarried. Again, focus on the family as some of their statistics. When we talk about this, some of you go say, "Preacher, why do we keep having these days, these Sanctity of Life Sundays?" I thought the Supreme Court overturned that. I thought Obergefell and all those kind of, or not Obergefell, but Roe v. Wade and all that stuff was over. And it was. And we should rejoice. We talked about this several years ago. And we need to recognize that. But what we didn't understand, perhaps, maybe you didn't, is that we ended one fight and we started another. I'm against it. Andrew Wood wrote a wonderful piece commemorating Sanctity of Life Sunday. He says, "I'm against abortion completely, not because I lack compassion, but because I believe it's the taking of an innocent life. And that conviction is why I work to see it end. I care about women. I care about men. I care about pregnancy centers. But we must fight everything with truth and compassion." He says, "The battlefield has shifted, the methods have changed, but the stakes have not." See, what do you mean? Well, instead of clinics now, it's pills. It's medication. Instead of visibility now, you had to go into a clinic, you had to walk by protesters. Now it's privacy. Instead of regulation, it's mailboxes and telemedicine. Medication abortions now account for well over half of all abortions in the United States, and that number is hard to figure out. Because it's just the absolute Wild West. You go on a website and you order something and it's delivered, and then the complications and things, it's not tracked really well in the ERs when so many women have so many complications from that. Truth of the matter is, even though there was a dip in the abortion numbers, that number has sort of swelled now because everything, again, the Wild West with the abortion pill distribution, the telehealth. The goal never changed, only the method did. The abortion pill is marked as simple and safe, and just like if you lost the baby. It minimizes the moral gravity, obscures real physical, emotional, and relational cost. Wood says, "What's often left unsaid is that the pill isolates women at the moment they most need support. It removes it from medical oversight, awareness, meaningful accountability, then calls that isolation empowerment. It didn't care. It's convenience. It's scalable. It's a cash cow." If you've ever wondered why your representative, why people on TV, etc., federal officials stay away from this issue, I always say the same thing. It's because there's no money in it. There's no money. The pro-life crowd doesn't throw money at politicians. The pro-abortion crowd throws lots and lots of money at politicians. You can't make any money off of it. Many of you say that's jaded. It might be jaded, but it's absolutely accurate. If you ask one, they'll tell you. They don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole because there's nothing but a downside, because you're making a bunch of 20 and 30-year-old women upset with you. And what you do is you kill the family before it begins. It interrupts the family formation. You target, by the way, what's happened is South Dakota, Colorado, New Jersey restrict, investigate, silence pregnancy centers over and over again. Support for women who choose life is treated as suspect. I don't know how many times I've been accused of that. Well, you only love babies. You don't love the baby after they're born. I'm going, one, you don't know me. Number two, that's nowhere close to truth. There wouldn't be adoption in the United States if it wasn't for churches. It wouldn't have been adoption in the West. I mean, you talk about the orphanage being started. They were started by Christian people. The adoption, all of these kind of things. It is absolutely fallacious to do that. And so when we see all these things, the serpent, Satan himself, has always aimed at life first. If he can end it, he ends it early. And then the rest never has to be built. The method has changed. The objective has not. So that pill, then, it's not neutral. It's not just medical. There's a spiritual, there's a cultural, there's a formative thing. And we must care about families. We must care about families. So when we look at this, you say, "Well, I thought we won this. And we won that, but we didn't win the war. And again, forever, how many years? We said it. Man, you got to change hearts and minds. Would you allow me to help you? If you're struggling with this, could I offer you some things from the Scripture? My side likes dialogue. The other side doesn't like any dialogue. Would you let me, if I could convince you, if I could help you, if you feel guilty, and again, there's so much there. Let me, I want to just kind of walk you through a few things and then give you some Bible truths. Can I do that this morning? Would that be okay? If it'd be okay, say amen. Can I do that? All right, here we go. I read you those scriptures. I've got them there for you. Number one, none more babies, just a mass. Mass of tissue. I just lumped them together for time's sake. One pro-abortion pamphlet is widely circulated. Use: a fetus is only a wad of cells adhering to the wall of uterus until those cells free themselves and become independent. help us out here, guys. At conception, a new and here's what science says, though. At conception, a new and totally different human being, 48 chromosomes, having the capability of replacing his own dying cells, exist. On the 13th day, the baby is 1/4 of an inch long with a brain, human proportions, ears, eyes, mouth, kidney, liver, stomach, intestines, and a spinal cord nervous system. That's on day 13. By day 18, a heart's in its early stage of development, begun pumping its own blood. 6.5 weeks, skeletons complete the first movements are made. A 2-month-old baby attains the ability to grasp objects, swim, hiccup, suck his thumb, and he wakes and sleeps with regularity. Ask any pregnant woman, they'll tell you that's exactly true. And they'll kick their husband. And at the 11-week stage, all bodily systems are formed and at work. The baby breathes, swallows, is sensitive to pain, is an independent individual. Systems grow and mature, but nothing new will develop after 11 weeks. 16-week-old baby has grown to 5.5 inches long. Toes and fingers are formed. Facial features are clearly evident. Quickening is felt at 18 weeks as the baby, now active and energetic, flexes his muscles, punches, and kicks. By the 20th week, which represents the first half of the gestation period, babies are often born prematurely and are still alive after birth. It is not a clump of tissue. It's a baby. Number two, can't feel pain. Can't feel pain. For the mixed group that we're in, if you really want me to go through this, I'll send you my notes. But if you walk through the major ways, typically, that abortions have been performed, when they have put cameras and stuff in there, you'll see the baby squirming. You'll do that. One of the most provocative and heartrending and horrifying movies you'll ever see never came out of Hollywood. It's called The Silent Scream. And it was an expose of these different methods and things that were used, and the baby swimming away from the suction tube or swimming away from the salt solution or whatever was going on that was there, and just awful. The RU486 or the mifepristone now that's used, and then the cooperative agents now, is just kind of mixed with some things that are there again to expel the child. One thing you need to remember, it's not private or quicker than other things. Sometimes even though you buy it and you get it in the mailbox, you end up having to go to a doctor's office many times. Again, the telemedicine's kind of masking some of this. It can be more expensive, and it is no less painful. Again, you may have unbelievable pain. The mother may have unbelievable pain. It is so much there. And again, just to not be gross and awful, right in the service, number three, only the government can determine personhood. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. If your Bible's open there, just flip over there. If you don't have that marked in your Bible, if you still got your Bibles open, is everybody still with me? Look at Jeremiah 1, 5. I'll give you a second. This is a particularly empowering myth here because we do this all the time. We either say the government says, or it doesn't matter what the government says. You know, we're having that debate right now. It doesn't matter what the laws are. It matters, what I feel. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. John MacArthur, in his good little book on abortion, says bags of babies are found by trash compactors, as we all know, if the clinic's still in operation. Yet on the other side, a wounded American eagle was found in Maryland and rushed to emergency treatment. It died, and a $5,000 reward was offered for the arrest of whoever injured it. It's illegal, by the way, to ship a pregnant lobster. It's a $1,000 fine. I didn't even know that was a thing. In the state of Massachusetts, there's an anti-cruelty law that says you can't give a goldfish as a prize. Can you imagine, what are you doing time for? Goldfish. It's illegal. We tend to protect the tendency of animals and those kind of things because it dulls our humanitarian feelings and it corrupts morals. Don't be mean to a cat or a puppy, but it's okay to kill a baby. That's upside down thinking. Somebody say amen. When we get here, long before this, only the government can determine personhood. Well, let me try a couple things on you. Did African-American folks become persons when the Supreme Court finally got there? Or were they always persons? Government doesn't always get it right. Heavenly day, they don't always get it right. They may come. Day comes in a lot of places. Don't recognize Christian folks to have any rights. A lot of places in the world. They're not right. Not right. No, God determines personhood. God determines. Women couldn't vote. Slavery was legal. On and on and on. When we talk about these kind of things, again, You don't have to go very far for the Nazi parallel in Germany. Jews were not people. Let's see how long they survive in an oven. Do the Mengele experiments. How much poison does it take to really kill a person? How long can an older person survive naked in a German winter? Let's track it. Say, history is boring. You've been reading the wrong kind of history. As long as you stay ignorant about the evils, we're doomed to repeat it. And so you catch up there. Number four. I want to say a lot more there. Oh, I did give you the text. I'm sorry. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. You still with me? Number four, the vast majority of Americans support abortion. And then myth number five there. I gave you some things. May 2020, Gallup poll, 50% identified as pro-life, 41% pro-choice. After the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade there, that number has spiked up. The numbers now get fuzzy. Between 50 and 60 million abortions have occurred. We don't know because, again, so many have become pill-based in the telemedicine that's here. 49%, depending on how you ask the question, say legal no matter what if you change the question. So, again, it varies. It's gone up to as high as 72% were pro-life, depending on how you ask the question. If you talk about and use the word murder, that number goes up to 80% against. Just depends how you ask the question. But I go back to one thing. If the statistics were whatever they were, if they were 80 or 90 or 100%, and they said, hey, all Hispanic folks are not real folks. If that's a survey, do we go, no? Okay, well, I'm sorry. It's bad to be you because apparently you're not a person now. Or what if we just said, well, everybody under 12, it's okay to murder them. It doesn't matter what the statistics are, right? It doesn't matter what the statistics are. Again, a lot of you like mustard, and you need to find another church. And it's awful. It's terrible. I'm teasing. I'm just pulling something out to cut the tension here. Some of you are biting your fingernails wondering when I'm really going to get serious about some things. We talk about, surveys are surveys. Surveys are surveys. You know, I grew up in a divided house. My dad pulled for North Carolina State. My mom pulled for UNC. And they were mortal enemies. North Carolina State hadn't been competitive in a long time, and God help us, man, UNC's been terrible. So the rivalry's fun, but it ain't much of a rivalry. But it's just that. When you look at things, again, your personal preference and all, it doesn't determine truth. It doesn't matter what happens there. What happens there, again, if you only poll 20-year-old women, you're going to get a different survey than if you poll the whole United States. Number five, we say, well, it's not my problem. Not my problem. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit the orphans, the widows, and the troubled. Keep oneself unspotted from the world. Open your mouth for the innocent, Proverbs 31 says. In the cause of all those who've been appointed to die, Proverbs 24. Don't hold back from those that are stumbling from the slaughter. We must speak up. You matter. If we got to speak up about evangelism, we got to speak up about this. We raise our hand and are counted. Say, it's not my fight. Well, whose fight is it? Whose fight is it? That's why we send money. That's why we're trying to figure out how to serve a meal down there. That's why I've offered myself to Emily and those kind of things. That's why we show up at the Pregnancy Banquet Crisis Center. We do those things because it matters. It matters. It matters. Let me give you a couple of truths here, and I'm done. You still with me? You'll be the same. Number one. All right. God creates and he fashions life. Over and over again, we read that. God creates and he fashions life. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. See, I don't like my nose. It's there. See, my ears are too droopy. You are not a mistake. They have this counseling terms. No, it's not what it's called, Rodney. Psychological classification. There we go. NEP, not expected parent. Those of you of a certain age, you probably have someone who figured out the person I grew up with was not my parent, and they didn't know it. NEP. There's NEP support groups. NEP. It's astonishing the people who all of a sudden everything in their world is upside down, because that wasn't my dad and that wasn't my mom. And similar folks who are adopted and they never understand their birth parents in some point, 18, 19, 20, they actually get to meet their birth parents or birth parent or whatever. One of the things they stress and remind them, You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You have worth. Just because it wasn't what you thought doesn't say anything about who you. And again, counselors get real biblical at that point. God creates and fashions life. There are no mistakes, no accidents. He loves you. He died for you. You're made in His image. You are His masterpiece. You're His workmanship. If you've been saved, He's creating you, and you're His masterpiece. You are all those things. Number two, we're to treat them like persons. I read those verses. They're treated like persons in the Bible. Psalm 51, I was brought forth iniquity. My sin to my mother conceived me. Psalm 58, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born. Talking about sinfulness. Psalm 139, the classic passage. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. You matter. God created you. The unborn are precious to God. He made them. Not a clump of cells. It's a baby. It's a life. It's a person. It's a person He loves and He died for. Number three, God forbids murder. One of the reasons we have such a problem with this now is because we got Grand Theft Auto, and we got Hitman this, and we got all these kind of things. And you get extra points for a headshot, you know, and if you make the pink mist on the video game. And we've watched so many God-awful movies that we are desensitized to war and to death and to killing. And so what's the problem? What's the problem? You got a clump of cells and it's going to complicate your life. I've had people through the years tell me, I'd rather my daughter have this and live with the guilt and ruin their life. What do you mean ruin their life? A baby is not a problem. I've said it for years when I preach on this subject. I'll say it again. There is no question to which the best answer is a dead child. There is no question to which the best answer is a dead child. I defy you. How many couples I have known through the years who would give everything they had to have a child, who would love to have adopted a child, who would love to have cared for it, would have given the birth mother rights and let them come and be a part of their life. Don't you dare go there. God forbids murder. Exodus 20, verse 13, thou shalt, number four, God forgives the sin. Let me help you. God forgives the sin of adultery, of lying, of murder, blasphemy. Aren't you thankful God forgives the sin of, and fill in the blank? Somebody say amen. Don't get all high and mighty because that's never come close to you. Look down your nose at other people who got lied to and made bad decisions in the heat of a moment and did the best that they could, and they found out later since all that went on there, and they are overwhelmed and racked with guilt. I got good news for them and good news for you. God forgives you your sin of the pride, and He forgives them of their sin of what they did. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If you're thankful for that, say amen. As sin reigned to death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I am glad God forgives that sin just like He does anything else. By the way, and He forgives the sin, can forgive the sin of those who pushed it on Him. Some of the most beautiful testimonies, if you get in that world and read about it, those who are providers and those kind of things, man, they've come to Christ and they're overwhelmed with God's grace, and they recount how He has helped them and healed them from the guilt. And then just so it said, we're to be involved. We're to be involved. One of the things I love about the Hope Resource Center, our partner organization here in town, is all the things they're doing. 1,900 patients served last year, 738 free pregnancy tests, 588 ultrasounds. Again, when they have an ultrasound, almost 9 out of 10 will choose the baby. 123 free well woman exams. They served over 200 Hispanic patients. They're trying to start and do more of that. 74 came through the class. 27 dads came through their class. 21 moms adopted adopted by one of the local churches. They had 381 students that were high risk, and they took them through what they call their sexual risk avoidance class. They're starting, and they're able to help. And whether it's inner city, whether it's in the county, whatever it is, they're trying to do it. They're trying to help them understand what's going on. They're trying to help them understand about life. They're doing the classes again. We provided a meal last year, and we want to do that again this year. And we want to help as they're coming in, because we want to do everything we can. Say, you matter. And the circumstances that brought you here may not have been ideal, but God loves you, and God's grace is bigger and better than your past, and God's grace is sufficient for your future, and everything can be okay because of the shed blood of Jesus. Do you believe that? Say amen. We're to be involved. Screaming at your TV is fine. You ain't helped anybody. Arguing with the AM radio nut job, getting you mad on the afternoon drive, ain't helped anybody. And everybody knows that the world's been problems have been solved because you've been a good keyboard warrior. Because at the end of the day, if everybody gets everything right about life and everything gets everything right about whether it's okay or not, whether the best answer to any question is a dead child, they still need Jesus. You and I are to be involved in reaching people, boys and girls, men and women, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And regardless of what's behind you, what's ahead of you can be different. And everything can change because of Jesus. By the way, and everything only changes because of Jesus. Say, it's her body. It's all, you're missing the point. Well, people should, you're missing the point, by the way. Government can give things and take them away. Missing the point. You are loved with an everlasting love. You can be forgiven. Everything can be different because of Jesus. Everything can be different because of Jesus. Oh, that God would help us. God would help us. Say, preacher, you preach something like this, you worried about being misunderstood? Yeah. You worried about being too strong, being too soft? Yeah. It's worth the risk. We must help. We must help. We must guard the next generation. We must tell boys and girls, and particularly young ladies, you are loved and you are precious. And God has great things for you. And we love you. And Jesus loves you. And we want to help. And let's help. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity today. Lord, this is familiar to some. It's brand new to others. And Lord, as we're praying and bowing our heads, Lord, I know those who are getting ready to be baptized, as they step out and they get ready, Lord, how exciting for them and for us as we rejoice, Lord, and them. And so Father, I pray that you would do that. And Father, as we pause right now, we pray for Emily, the director, for her board, for all the doctors and nurses that serve there. I pray for the folks that are very active in Tennessee. And Lord, I pray for so many, Lord, who, Lord, this is such an emotional thing that there's seemingly no opportunity to have a good discussion. And then for those